The following is a CA original.
Pouncer, the Palm Squad. Pre- and post-game parties on Beale Street. It's all part of the Memphis Tigers basketball game day experience. This is the Tiger Basketball Podcast.
What's happening, Tiger basketball fans? We are back for another edition of the Tiger Basketball Podcast. I'm Mark Giannotto, the Commercial Appeal Sports Columnist. I'm joined by Jason Munns, our Tiger basketball beat writer. We are about 48 hours removed from a disheartening loss to South Florida for the Tigers. They lose by four. They end the game without Precious Achiuwa.
Lost by three, I believe.
Lost by two. 75-73.
Tyler Harris's
late three. But they finished the game with Malcolm Dandridge out. He didn't play because of a knee injury or precautionary reasons related to his surgically repaired knee.
Right.
Precious Achiuwa and Lance Thomas go out in the final 5 minutes with injuries. Sounds like Lance Thomas had cramps and Precious Achiuwa was dealing with a hip/tailbone injury after a hard fall. So Memphis ends the game with no one taller than 6'5" on the court. And it obviously was a major blow to the Tigers' NCAA tournament hopes because it was a quad three loss. They're now 5-5 over their last 10 games. And you look around the country at these different brackets, and they are officially, at best, first four out, and in a lot of cases, not even that.
Yeah, Jerry Palm
doesn't. He's got them as a potential bubble team. There's no getting around it. Saturday felt really disheartening because more so than ever, it was like, put in perspective, this season that was supposed to be a special season is just, it seems like there's something, some new obstacle or new disruption every game now.
It's like no matter what they do, they can't get out. Something always seems to just come up or get in the way. And it's whether it's manufactured on their end, on the team's end, or if it's out of their control, but there's always something. Every day feels like.
And so they now head into this final 8-game stretch of the regular season, two road games against Cincinnati and UConn this week. I guess you don't need to go 2-0, but probably should. If you want, all hope is not lost. Like, I really do believe if they go 6-2 over these last 8, they're going to be in the mix on Selection Sunday. The problem is nothing over the past month or so suggests that this team can go 6-2, especially if they don't have Precious Achiuwa for some of these games.
And that's what Penny said after the game, after the South Florida game. He was like, it's hard enough to go on the road and win games in college basketball even when you're healthy. He didn't have any updates immediately after the game on Precious or Malcolm or Lance as far as injuries go, but we feel like we'll hear something soon on those guys. Penny's supposed to talk tomorrow before they leave for Cincinnati, and then he's got his coach's show tonight on the radio, tonight being Monday. So it's going to be an uphill battle regardless, just because it's a real gauntlet, down the stretch here. You got Cincinnati on the road, UConn on the road. You got two games against Houston, one at home, one on the road. Wichita State at home. SMU, you still got to go to SMU and try to beat them. So
it's good and bad. They have more opportunities for quad one and two wins than they maybe have had the entire year.
Yeah.
Over these last 8. I mean, everything but the Tulane and ECU games our quad one and quad two win opportunities.
But there's nothing's going to be easy about
that. But that's the thing. Those games are hard games. Right. Like, this is the hardest stretch of their schedule.
And they appear to be at their lowest. Would you agree that they might be at their lowest point? I mean, that's the worst loss of the season. South Florida is the worst loss of the season.
South Florida at home, yeah. I mean, I do think South Florida is a bad matchup for them. Those big guards really give them trouble. And then you add on the fact that they were not, you know, even when Precious was out there, that was one of Precious's worst games.
Yeah, what do you have, three
points?
He got
in foul trouble. He had 6 points early. He got going early, right away, but then got in foul trouble, and it felt like the foul trouble just totally messed with his head.
Yep.
And so
when he picked up that third one, like 7 seconds into the second half, you could read it on his face like a book. It was he
was just like, what else? What am I going to do?
Right.
And it's on, you know, it's fascinating to see how this all play out, in the sense that there's some very real reasons why this is happening. The injuries, and like, they don't have the team they thought they were going to have. I mean, there's no James Wiseman. There's no DJ Jeffries. On Saturday, there was no Malcolm Dandridge. And then at the end of the game, there was no Lance Thomas and Precious Achiuwa. And it feels like this whole season just feels like snake bitten and cruel. And, you know, for especially for the fans who have gone 5 years without an NCAA tournament berth, and this was supposed to be.
And they had their hopes.
You know, like, I don't feel that bad for Penny or the players. I feel bad for the fans, because everyone had their hopes up.
Tough pill.
And it's been really tough to swallow. That being said, there's also some reasons. I mean, I don't know. Do we think they should have won that USF game, even considering the circumstances? I feel like, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, you know, yes. Like,
I mean, that's so, a sub-500 team.
They're not playing very well. And, like, on Saturday, I mean, the offense wasn't great. They had Tyler Harris making threes, but that's really about it.
They kept the turnovers down?
The problem is the defense failed them in that game down the stretch. They couldn't get a stop when they needed to. And partly that was because, again, personnel. Like, there's only it's funny. I think Penny has looked like an inexperienced coach at times this year. I think he's going to need to make adjustments and tweaks to his system this offseason if he wants to have long-term success as a college coach. But, like, I don't think that's the reason why this season is spiraling.
No.
I don't know what, you know, if they had a better identity, if they had a better offense, they'd maybe be better equipped to overcome some of this stuff. But, like, I still go back to, there's just the team he wanted to put out there isn't there anymore.
Let me ask you this. How much different would this season look at this stage, even if everything else played out the same, if you had a healthy Ray John Tucker?
Well, but see, people use that as a hypothetical. He was never going to come here because...
Okay, so...
Like, you do know the circumstances with Ray John Tucker was...
Yeah.
He committed here as a graduate transfer... But, oh, by the way, he forgot to do one key thing. He forgot to graduate from Little Rock.
Right.
So, like, yes, you can say, like, oh, what if Rajon Tucker was going to be here? But, like, to me, it's more about the Wiseman thing. Like, Rajon Tucker was never going to be able to come here.
Well, I didn't mean specifically him, but a grad transfer. Somebody who's not a freshman or a sophomore.
Well, it's...
Or Isaiah Maurice, who... Can I mean, there's a lot of young players on this team who've never ever been put in under a microscope like this, who've ever dealt with adversity like this, and
oh yeah, absolutely. And they there's no like, it's February 10th. We don't know when the game's on the line, who Memphis will go to when a game's on the line. We still don't know that yet. We don't know, like, what is this team's identity? They're a good defensive team, I guess. But they didn't look like one in the South Florida game. But I mean, I guess that was partly because of personnel.
Yep.
And
everybody playing with four fouls. I mean, let's be real about that too. It seemed like everybody was in foul trouble.
But like, we don't know, like, this team hasn't figured itself out, and it's February 10th, and I know. That is on Penny.
Yeah.
Like, he has not created a consistent environment or identity for this team. And it would seem to me with, like what you mentioned, so many freshmen and sophomores, that is the first thing he should have done.
No doubt.
And I
do feel like he's started to try. It's just too late. I mean, it's just, that's fact of the matter. Like, doing the push-ups for the turnovers in practice, and it just feels like a lot of the things he's doing a little bit too late. The buttons that he's pushing.
Well, and again, he's doing them with a team that's not the team he out to have. If Precious doesn't play against Cincinnati, I mean, that roster is without DJ, without Precious, without James Wiseman, I'm going to be frank, the roster is not as good as last year's roster, because at least last year's roster, you had Jeremiah Martin and you had some veteran guys who'd been through it.
Right. So you bring up the availability of Precious Achiuwa.
Yeah, I'm curious what you're hearing behind the scenes about what's going on with this team and what the availability will be for Thursday.
Well, it sounds like, I've talked to a couple different people, and it sounds like Lance Thomas and Malcolm Dandridge will both be fine. As you mentioned before, Lance Thomas just had cramps at the end of the South Florida game. And I mean,
to be honest, he made it seem like he had like torn. The way he came up the court, I was like, oh man, did this guy like tear his ACL? Or
right,
something?
Right. It definitely he sold it pretty well. And listen, there was only 3 minutes left in the game, so. And he had played a lot, and he's played a lot the last 2 or 3 weeks after having not played very much for like the 2 months before that. So, he had cramps. He should be fine. Malcolm Dandridge, as I reported before the game Saturday, him missing that game was more or less a precautionary deal. He dunked. He had a dunk against Temple in the game before last Wednesday, and apparently when he came down, when he landed after the dunk, he felt a pop or he heard a pop, and it scared him. Essentially, is what happened, and so he felt like he needed a game to get over that. But it sounds like he'll be ready to go against Cincinnati. I've heard conflicting things on Precious Achiuwa. There's one side that feels, he'll play, but there's, another side to it that there are people that think he won't. And to be quite honest, at this stage, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, Precious Achiuwa has a future to an immediate future, more immediate future than some of these other guys. And I mean, he may not want to risk coming back if things start to really spiral here.
Well, that just strikes me as not a great environment right now. Yeah, behind the scenes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
when you got players deciding whether to just essentially, call it quits essentially.
Well, I mean, DJ Jeffries, he was the one who made the call when he sat out the Georgia game. It was his call. Mm-hmm. He didn't feel well, and he didn't feel like he could go, so they let him sit. Malcolm Dandridge, same thing. It was his call. So I haven't been around a ton of college basketball programs. Is that like?
Well, I mean, I think if a guy doesn't think he can go, you can't force him to go.
Right.
A guy feels like he can't play. But no, it just strikes me as not strikes me as not a great environment when you say these things about what's going on behind the scenes. Like to me, if the environment was good, you're willing to lay it all out on the line, and it doesn't strike me as a great environment behind the scenes.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. It you got a lot of pieces to this puzzle that have a lot of voices in their ears, and they're all thinking about different things. I'm not saying that everybody wants to win. Nobody wants to lose. That's just silly. But to think that these guys, the majority of these guys, aren't thinking about themselves and their long-term futures would be naive.
Well, it's interesting because I think one of the problems this team has run into is I think if they played more, if there was more cohesion, like they're not as good as they think they are individually, if that makes sense. Like, you know, you look down up and down the roster, like Precious Achiuwa is a lottery pick, but he's only a lottery pick because this is a historically bad draft. He's a very good player. But he's not real. I mean, like, honestly, like when I watch him, I don't see anything more than like a seventh man at the NBA level. Like right. He's a really, and there's no shame in that. No, like, that's a very good player.
Yeah.
You know, Boogie Ellis, who some people thought might be a one and done, does not, you know, he's more of like a 3 or 4 year college player.
Yeah.
DJ Jeffries, probably the same thing.
People were talking big about Damian Ball after his Bahamas thing.
He's a 4 year college player. And like, I think if this group stays together, like even next year, they're going to be pretty good because guys are going to get better. Like these guys are all ultimately in the end going to be good college players. I think
right.
Lester Quiñones, same deal.
Like, right.
Good college players.
Right.
But they're freshmen and they're what's become clear is that James Wiseman was not a typical freshman. Precious Achiuwa was not a typical freshman. Pretty much the rest of the guys were typical freshmen. Like typical good freshmen.
Right.
Where they have ups and downs and you know, and so and I do think effort, aside from the Tulsa game, has not been a huge issue.
No.
I think these guys are playing hard when they're out there. But they're not playing collectively, if that makes any sense. There just doesn't seem to be the cohesion you see on the good college basketball teams. And I think the conclusion I would make is that as of today, this is not a great college basketball team.
No.
And
I mean, you take away James Wiseman, even just all things being equal, if everybody was still healthy and all that stuff, this is still just a very young, pretty good college basketball team. It's nothing. It's really not much more than that. And, you know, I think that's where a lot of people got themselves in trouble thinking.
Well, and you look at these games, like the South, like a year from now, like you look at these losses they've had this year, a year from now, this team, like, take out the Wiseman factor. Like, even without James Wiseman, a year from now, I think they beat Georgia, I think they beat SMU, and I think they win the South Florida game. A year from now, because they're older, they've been through it once, they know how tough, like, you know, I think they're finally starting to realize, like, this league is tougher than they think.
That's what I'm saying. I think a lot of this can be traced back to the fact that 95% of this roster is freshmen, sophomores, or, you know, guys who only have max 2 years college Division I college experience. Even what?
Well, I mean, and frankly, their coach is also really inexperienced.
That's right.
Like, I think Penny, I don't think there's, as I've said, I think I said it last week, I think Penny is a good coach, but I also think he's an inexperienced coach. And there's been moments throughout this season where it's shown through.
And you and I were talking about this before, an inexperienced staff.
Yes.
On top of it, in terms of college basketball.
Yes.
In terms of college basketball, you know, these guys have their own resumes, but as far as college basketball, this is Cody Toppert's first year as a college basketball coach.
Yeah.
This is Mike Miller's second year as a college basketball coach, mm-hmm. assistant coach. You know, Tony Madlock has had a career in college basketball, but he's the only one.
Yeah. And no, I think it's going to be very interesting this offseason. One, how this offseason goes, because I think there is, you know, you listen to the rumblings behind the scenes, it could be a very interesting offseason.
Very.
With the staff.
Very. But
I also think Penny, after going through, whether they make the tournament or not, whether they go 6-2 down the stretch or whatever, Penny's got to look in the mirror and realize what I did this year was not great. Like, it wasn't bad.
On paper, it should have been fine.
It should have been fine, but he needs to figure out what his identity is as a coach, what he wants this, especially offensively. What, you know, like what he did offensively this year is not working. I mean, it's just not.
No, it isn't.
And maybe it's just having more experienced guys. Maybe it's, you know, recruiting another shooter or two.
That's what I'm saying, man. I feel like if there was a guy with the profile of a Rajon Tucker on this team,
that if there was another NBA player on the team, I mean, I mean, that's what you're saying. If there was another NBA, Rajon Tucker is in the NBA.
I don't even necessarily mean that. I mean somebody who's been through it before, who wouldn't get, you know, flustered in times like the other day when.
Well, it's gonna, you know, Penny was in a situation where he lost, you know, six seniors last year, whatever it was, five seniors.
Right.
He was, you know, and I think he knows he needs this, the program, you know, Tony Bennett at Virginia has a saying, and I think a lot of coaches say it, like, you want to get old and stay old. That those, the best, most consistent programs, you know, take out Kentucky and Duke. Everyone else, with the best programs, get old and stay old.
Right.
It's really hard to have an NBA factory. Like what John Calipari and Mike Krzyzewski do is really hard.
I mean they're
and I don't think Penny's necessarily doing a terrible job. Like they're still 17-6.
I know.
You know, with everything they've been through, and so
it feels way worse.
It feels worse,
but it's not.
They still have a realistic chance of making it into the NCAA tournament. Do I? You know, my gut tells me they're going to win a game we're not expecting them to down the stretch. Now the question is, are they going to lose another game?
Are they going to lose to East Carolina at home?
You know, or something like that.
What games can they afford to lose? You're saying 6-2 is kind of the magic number. What two games do you think?
I mean, I think you need to get.
Or does it matter?
I think you need to get a win over. I think you need, you'd prefer to win this Cincinnati game, and I think you want to win one against Houston to up your profile. Like, I guess you can afford to lose the at Houston game,
but you got it. So you got to win East Carolina and Tulane. You got to win those two.
Got to win those two. I think, I mean, to me, it's going to be hard to win at Cincinnati. This program has struggled to win at Cincinnati for a long time. So maybe you can lose, maybe you lose that one.
Right.
But I think you want to win that one because that's a quad one win.
I know. That's
like that UConn. But
that would help make people feel a whole lot better if you go up there Thursday.
And I think it's a good matchup for them. But, you know, you go back to the game they won here at FedEx Forum. I mean, in that game, Malcolm Dandridge had a good game.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's going to play again. And DJ Jeffries had 18 points. Hit 4 3-pointers. You're not going to have that this time.
Ain't no DJ Jeffries. You gotta hope you get 18 from Lance Thomas. Because probably, you got the box score? What did Lance Thomas do in that game?
He played 6 minutes and had no points, one rebound, and one steal.
Yeah. So, you know, if you can get him to replace what DJ gave you. But, I don't know. You're going to need, if Precious doesn't play, you're going to need 30. What's your interior look like if Precious doesn't play? Yeah.
No. I mean, if Precious doesn't play, I don't know. This conversation is a moot point. They're not going. If Precious doesn't play for a couple weeks, and if he doesn't play for a couple weeks, it means he's not going to play the rest of the year.
Right.
Because if he doesn't play for a couple weeks, all the wind will be off out of their sails, if you will. So hopefully plays. Hopefully plays. I mean, like I said, there is a feasible route for them to make the NCAA tournament, but it's only feasible in the sense if you take it in a vacuum. If you take it in how this team has trended over the last month or so, it doesn't really sound that feasible.
Yeah, the odds are against them. The deck is stacked high.
Yes,
but we're gonna be there. You and I will both be at. Fifth Third Arena, is that that's what it's called?
That's what it's called. Maybe they changed the name, but I haven't been there since they renovated it, so I'm excited to see it.
Hopefully, you'll be there, right? You're
I'm flying day of. It's supposed to snow. We'll see.
All right.
Hopefully, I'll be there.
Yeah. And then I'll be Sunday. I'll be in Hartford for the UConn game, and we'll.
It'll be interesting to see where they are a week from now. Like, I think if they can win both these games this week, the conversation is totally different.
They're back. They're back.
Like all these games now become like, it's funny, they all become referendums on yeah. Penny and the team's NCAA tournament hopes. And in reality, it's like, you know, it's a whole picture.
Right.
And so, but that's, it's what's fun. It's what's maddening about college basketball and the NCAA tournament. Like literally these last eight games, each one of them will be a referendum, fair or not, on the Penny Hardaway experience and on this team and on their NCAA tournament hopes. Every loss is going to feel like it's the end, and every win you're going to feel like, oh, well, you know, maybe they can do it. And it's probably somewhere in between. Like my gut tells me we're going to get to Selection Sunday and they won't be totally out of it. I don't know if they'll make the tournament,
right,
but there will be some form of hope that you'll feel during that going into that selection show that maybe they can make. I don't know if they will, but that's my gut tells me they are going to be in that neighborhood, if
Mark
you will.
Mark Giannato, the eternal optimist. That's good. That's good.
It's crazy that that's optimistic. Like
it is. It is.
That's yeah. crazy that that's optimistic.
It is. But but you're right. That's what makes this whole thing fun.
Yeah.
Is that everything matters, and so yeah, at Cincinnati on Thursday, at UConn, which UConn just beat Cincinnati, correct?
And Tulsa.
And Tulsa.
Yeah, so UConn's playing well.
After they got beat here by Memphis, they went to Tulsa and then
it's gonna be both these games are gonna be very tough.
Yeah.
Very tough. So we shall see. Hopefully Memphis will have a full deck of cards, if you will, for these games. Like Jason said, we'll have tons of coverage on commercialappeal.com throughout the week. Both of us will be in Cincinnati. Jason will be in Hartford for the Connecticut game. And then we will meet back here for another podcast next week. Hopefully we're talking about a 2-0 week, not an 0-2 week.
Yeah.
Till then, I was Mark. I was joined by Jason. Thanks so much, and enjoy the rest of your week.
The Tiger Basketball Podcast can be found each week during the regular season at commercialappeal.com. You can also subscribe for free to the Tiger Basketball Podcast on Apple Podcasts and Google Play. I'm Sean King. The Tiger Basketball Podcast is a production of the Commercial Appeal.